close relations have poured into you over time. And you grow up having these boundaries in your mind and in your heart, and it creates fear in you. And I talked about how fear can cripple you, and it can destroy your life, and it can just stop you from being exactly what God has called you to be. Today, I have an antidote. An antidote to that spirit of fear. You know, back home, you know, I always have to share a story from back home. In our transportation business, they allow this, herbalist to come into the cars, and then they'll be peddling their medication. And one medication can solve like 10 different things. I don't know how they did that. Oh, you know, rub this thing on your face and your pimples will go away and your brain will work right and all that stuff. You know, I'm not going to do that today. In my opinion, God gave us one antidote to fear. And when we understand that and we hold on to it, I don't care what the devil does, you will not allow fear to control your life.
That's right.
Let's go to 1 John 4:18. You know, I have an exercise that I wanted to do, but it would take too long. But when you go home, just read 1 John chapter 4. And see how closely related love and God is mentioned back to back. Every time there is love, there is God, and God and love and God. It's amazing. It's amazing to watch. Therefore, let's read this. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. If you want to get rid of fear, if I want to get rid of fear, I need to understand the love of God. In my mind, the love of God is like a safety net under a tall bridge that I'm working on, which is my life. And if I know that no matter what happens up there, when I fall, the love of God will catch me, I'll not be afraid to do all I can to become what God has called me to be. So today I'm going to take you on a little journey. Okay? Just pardon me, my brain works differently. You know, I've been battling with sickness for a while now. So let's go. Let's read this story. This story, everyone knows this story. The story about the prodigal son. And I was reading it one time and I realized something. And I want us to think about it for a second. Luke 15, 17 to 24. It says, now, those of you who don't know this story, there is a man who had two sons, and one of them came to him and said, look, I want all the inheritance that comes to me, so, you know, I want my cut. He got the money, went out, and spent it on wild living, you know. And then when he got broke, he came to his senses, and he headed back home. But before he headed back home, he had a statement that he was going to say to his father in his mind. So he was practicing it. So this is where we take the story from. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out to go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. 21. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. 22. But the father said to his servant, Quick, bring the best robes and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring a fattened calf, kill it. Let us have a feast and celebrate. Boogie down. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to boogie down. Oh, boogie down is mean, no, celebrate. You know, yeah. All right, cool. Sorry. Yeah. All right, so, you know, have you guys realized that when you're reading the Old Testament and sentences are repeated, they repeat it word for word, the whole thing. And Moses did this and did that and that. And then the prophet came and he said, same line. This is one of the sentences that was never completed in the Bible. Check this out. You see what the guy was saying? Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And then the sentence was repeated in 21 and said, Father, I have sinned against you. I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer to be called your son. You know what happened? His father cut him off and said, but there is a but in our stories. The father did not allow him to say that he wanted to be a hired servant. Did you catch that? God does not want to be our boss. He wants to be our father. Now, love is a unique thing that can only be cultivated in relationships. You cannot go and hang out by yourself in an empty vacuum and create love. Not happening. Love is created and developed in relationships. In the hard times, in the good times, in the crying times, in the crazy times, the messier the better, in all that mess. That is how love is cultivated. So I have a question for you guys today. So the message today for you is, God your boss or your father? All right, so let's do this thing. Ramon, next slide. Now, if God is your boss, okay, I'm a boss at a job, so I know how this goes. If God is your boss, number one, you have a hiring date and a firing or resigning date. Did you understand what I just said? If God is your boss, there is a way you walk into his presence and you get all excited, and one day you're like, yo, I'm tired of this, peace out, and you're gone. In your mind, you have a firing date or a resigning date. Sometimes we resign, or sometimes we think God is so mad at us that he's going to fire us. And when you are in a relationship with someone and you're always thinking that he's going to fire you, your trust level will never grow. Because there will always be a door behind you. That when this happens, I have a way out. This is why certain marriages don't grow. When you get married, singles, if you do get married, all doors behind you has to be closed. Divorce is not an option. If that door is not closed, trust me, you will find reasons to walk through that door. If you have a firing date and a resigning date with God, when things get hard and things don't go your way and you don't get a raise, oh God, you see, I've been serving you for like donkey years, and I've been trying to get married up in here, and this sister over here is not as spiritual as I am, and it's already married. You know, I needed a job, but God, I've been praying, and... No, wait. It's a relationship.
Yes.
Are you looking for payment? Look, the fact that Jesus went on the cross is, if God doesn't do anything for us till we die, that's it. You getting to go to heaven. You peace out. You just chill out.
Yeah.
All right. Now, if God is your boss, you punch in and you punch out of work. Yeah. You decide, okay, today I'm going to be a disciple. Punch in. 5 seconds later, no, this one is not cool. I'm not, punch out. I'm not a disciple no more. Hey, you know, or something really bad happens. Yeah, and you get so mad, you be like, Holy Ghost, hold on 1 second. You know, let me go Daniel route. You know, let me deal with this before I come back and start praying for forgiveness and stuff. Like, really seriously? If God is your boss, you always punch in and punch out at will.
Yeah.
Number 3, you have sick days, vacation days, and personal days. Yeah, you guys are laughing because you know that's true. Oh, I'm sick. I'm not going to be a disciple today. I'm on vacation. Forget this, share your faith and go hang out with people. None of that. I'm going swimming and stuff. You know, I have personal day. No, like I need a mental health day. I'm tired of all of y'all. I'm going to sit down and chill out in my house. Don't call me. My phone broke by mistake. They call me, I'm not picking up. And stuff. You know, but all right, so yeah. Number 4, you are represented by a union. If God is your boss, you have a union. You know what your union is? All right. So, you know that as a family, we step on each other's mental toes, right? We hurt each other. Don't act like you know. Yeah. It happens, all right? Okay, we hurt each other. You hang out with me for a few minutes, you see what I will do. Yeah. You are going to California, you don't count. So, something happens, you get upset. Instead of going to your brother to talk about it, like the Bible says, you don't do that. You go and you seek advice. And before the person who didn't even know hurt you has to come to you to discuss, everybody else knows before that person knows. You have a union.
Come on.
Do you want to be a disciple or you just want to, you know? Someone does something to you that hurts your feelings, the Bible says that go to the person. If it doesn't work, bring another person. If it doesn't work, bring another person. There is a process in this deal. Okay, you don't go talk to everybody and the poor brother or sister is sitting down, they didn't even know they hurt you and everybody knows their business. That's not cool. All right. Number 5. When you leave work, you don't take work home with you. I try to work on that, even at my job. When you be like, why are you giving all these calls at home? You know, work has to be work, you know. If God is your boss, the moment you walk out of these four walls, everything you heard from here goes through here and peace out, gone. You go back to your old Daniel self. You don't hold on to anything. Your life amongst disciples is different. Your life amongst your co-workers is different. Your life in ShopRite is different. Your life in what's that gym place? I don't go to the gym, so I don't know the gym names. The one by the house, LA Fitness. You know, it's different. If God is your boss, your life does not match in different places. Number 6, you have no fraternization policy in your relationships. Oh, in fact, in regular jobs, there are union rules, or you know, that there are no fraternizations. Do you know? For those who don't understand fraternization, you cannot be friends and have relations on the same job. If you get into a relationship, they transfer one of you to a different house, you know, kind of thing. If God is your boss, your relationships here will not be deep. They'll be very shallow. How are you doing? I'm fine. Seriously? Oh, yeah, it's cool. So how was your week? Well, I went to work and that's it. Your relationships are very shallow. God cannot be your boss to enter into heaven. It's not going to happen. Who wants to hang out with their boss for eternity? You know? Like, think about it. Who wants to hang out with their boss for eternity? Like, forever and ever. Phone calls, emails. No. All right. So let's flip the switch. Now, if God is your father, though, there is a relationship. You see, relationships are unique. Relationships go up, they come down, they go straight, they go loop-de-loop, and round and around, but that relationship still stays there. You cannot be in a relationship when it's only good times. You cannot be in a relationship when it's only bad times. You cannot be in a relationship when everything is going your way. It's the combination of all the rackets that makes a relationship work. That makes it strong. Show me a strong, vibrant, powerful relationship that transcends generations. And I'll tell you people who have been through fire and struggles together. If God is your father, there is a relationship. Your level of love for God is personal. When you read scriptures and it talks about my Father in heaven, you don't think about it like my Father and everybody else's Father in heaven. No. It's my Father in heaven. Daniel, my Father in heaven. There is a relationship. Some of us haven't had a very good relationship with our father, so we have a hard time connecting that. But this Father we have in heaven is unique. He is awesome. He is loving. He is kind. He chases you when you are not even paying attention. I mean, you know, when you are telling him talk to the hand, the guy is still coming. Yeah. Who does that? I mean, bring the worst of your worst, and he will still embrace you. That is the kind of relationship we need to have with our Father in heaven. Yes. Romans 3:35. Can we read that? Romans 3:35. Oh, okay, sorry. All right, let's go to the Bible. Romans 3:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardships or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Nothing can separate us from the love of God. These things that he mentioned, trouble, hardships, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword, these things create major fears in our lives. Major. Okay, I mean, sword, you know, most of you live in the United States. The sword part you don't really understand. You know, you haven't dealt with civil wars and trying to hide in bushes to run home on a curfew, so you don't really understand. Let me tell you, if you live in a country that the government changes every week, you will understand how it feels like to run for your life. When the horn blows and there is a curfew, and you were sent to go feed your grandfather, and you're on your way back, and the soldiers are running the streets, and you are a young kid running to get home, and by the time you get home, the gate is locked. You understand the fear that brings to your mind. Farming, like my kids sometimes they tell me, "Oh, daddy, I'm hungry." I'm like, "No, I refuse to hear those words from you. You are hungry. There is ice cream in the fridge. There is Hawaiian bread sitting right there on the table. You are hungry. Do you know what hunger is?" Look, no child in this country should ever be allowed to say, "I'm hungry." All right? No child in this country should be allowed to say, "I'm hungry." I know there are certain places in this country people are hungry and all that stuff. I understand that. But on the whole, we throw food away like, That was one of the culture shocks I got when I came into this country and I saw the amount of food people threw away. I was like, "You're throwing that away?" They're like, "Yeah." I was like, "Wow." There was a time in my life, I was with my brother and my sister, and for a whole day we did not know whether we were going to eat or not. For those of you who were back home in 1983, there was a famine in my country. You talk about hunger. You get so hungry, you walk behind people's houses to smell the food they are cooking, just to trick your mind that you've taken something in. Famine. It's no joke. It can create some major fears in your life. Now, God is saying that none of these things can separate you from Him. Did you understand that? Basically, He's saying that there is nothing this world can throw at you that can make Him walk away from you. He will not abandon you, and He will not forsake you. That is a promise of God. Let that sink into your soul, because that is a calling, that a promise your father has given you. Let's go back to the slide. Yeah, so I want you guys to see this. So, all right. There is a fellowship, there is a worship from the heart, John 4:24. Now, worship is not just the singing and you know. Worship is your daily dedication of your very soul and your whole being to God. Your whole body, who you are as a person, becomes a temple of God. Okay? That can only be done when you are in a relationship. It cannot be done when you have a punch in and punch out clock in your mind. Yeah. It won't work. Worship is 24/7 to the day you drop dead. Because you know the day you die, you're going to meet the person you've fallen in love with all this time. So fear, death has no grip over you because you can't even wait to go. You're like, "What's up with these bills and stuff? Let's go hang out with Jesus." And, you know, You get all excited. There is worship from the heart. Your heart does not cling onto anything in this world. Do you understand what I'm saying? Your heart is freed to love God if everything is God.
Yeah.
Number three, you trust and obey out of love, not compulsion or fear. Do you trust God because you're afraid to go to hell? Or you trust God because you love Him? Think about that. I used to be motivated by fear of going to hell. So I throw everything at it to make sure, you know, I stay righteous. It didn't work very long, you know. But when I began to understand that God wants a relationship with me, that changed. Now, I strive to obey Him. I strive to trust Him because I know He has my best interest at heart. He's not out to get me. No. He's, in fact, directing me to the right place I need to be. So I will trust and obey out of love. Not because someone is going to be on my case. Not because I'm afraid of human beings. No, because I love God. And this trust and obey thing, it's no joke, man. You will not go to bed and wake up one day and all of a sudden you become, you know, all trusting and obeying. No. It happens through trials and tribulations. Things will happen to you. Life will knock you sideways, upside down, and all over the place. The devil will try and throw some curveballs at you. You remember Job? When you stay in, consistent, steadily, these two things begin to develop, trusting and obeying, because you know that the person you are in love with has your best interest at heart. So there is no fear because you trust. Now, there is only a beginning, never an ending. Remember, when God is your boss, you have a hiring date and a firing date. When you are in a relationship with God, there is only a beginning, never an ending. Let me explain. You enter into a relationship with God the day you hand over your life to Him and you become a disciple. And if you stay the course, there is never an ending, because the day you close your eyes, you open your eyes in His presence. And that's for eternity. There is no ending. But if you're not in love with Him, though, eternity can be very scary. If you don't love God, and if you don't really understand who He is, eternity can be scary. Because you don't know what you're going to do to yourself. You don't know how you're going to handle that. But if you're in love with Him, you cannot just wait to just get there. Your mind will always be heaven focused. And everything you do on here will just be practice. Loving one another, serving one another, just giving out yourself. His very presence will just be working out of you, because you are in love. There is no separation. When you are in love with God and you are in a relationship with God, there is no separation. Do you understand that even when you walk away, God still comes after you?
Yeah.
Even when you decide to walk away, God is like, I want you back. There is no separation. But because of our personal choices, we think that we can just walk away and then God vanishes. No. He's always there. And knowing that He's always there gives you amazing confidence. Gives you the will to do more for him without fearing that you will fail or fall. Because you know even when you fail or you fall, he will be there to catch you. That is God. So what are we supposed to do? Come on, next slide. So this is practicals, okay? So that we can work on. Number one, make a decision to be born again daily. You remember the story about Jesus and Nicodemus? Every time I read that scripture, I was thinking about, you know, becoming a Christian, being born again. All right, but let me push it a little further. Being born again that Jesus was talking about also includes daily, every single day, deciding to be born again, to become renewed, to become like a child, brand spanking new again. Children forget like that. My kids will be fighting over a toy. And you if you watch that split second, you think they hate each other. 2 seconds later, they'll be sitting down there playing games. You know, la-di-da, you know, hey, what's up? You know, like nothing happened. You have to decide to be born again. Every single day. You cannot be born again yesterday and today say like, I'm taking a break. No. We have to be born again today. You know, when we become a disciple, you are given a lever to push. You wake up in the morning, you decide, am I going to live by the spirit or live by the flesh? And the stick is in your hands. You decide, am I going to live by the spirit or live by the flesh? Decision. Make a decision every day to be born again. John 3:3. Be in a Bible study weekly. Now, I know what you are thinking. Look, yes, studying the Bible with non-Christians, yes. But let me push this one too. Being in a Bible study every week will help you cultivate your love for God. This is why I'm saying, this is explanation. You need to be in a Bible study to learn how to be a husband. You need to be in a Bible study to learn how to be a wife. You need to be in a Bible study to learn how to raise kids. You need to be in a Bible study to learn how to be a good worker. You need to be in a Bible study to learn how to be a good friend. Who in your life is helping you weekly to become a better Christian? If you are a Christian, or you call yourself a disciple, and you've gone a month without no one knowing what is going on in your life, I'm scared. No bueno. We all need help. Every single one of us. No one in this room is a super disciple. No one. We all need help. We need help in our parenting. We need help in our being a husband. We need help in being a wife. I mean, the Bible is full of practicals on how to live as a disciple. Who are you sitting with to help you figure these things out? Because you're not smart all by yourself. I don't care if you have so many degrees than a thermometer. I don't care. You need somebody. You need somebody to help you out. Because you know what? When you're living your life, you always look good in your eyes. Wendy was telling me sometimes, you know, Daniel, you're putting on too much weight. You need to lose the daily, you know, stuff. There is a mirror at my job. Every time I stand in that mirror, I look nice and slim. I'm like, I don't see what she's talking about. You know, and stuff. But you need someone else to point things out to you. Because trust me, your mind will deceive you. Your mind will tell you are awesome. Meanwhile, you are dying. You need someone else to, in fact,
encourage you.
Yes.
You need someone to say, bro, I know you messed up, but you're better than that. You can do it. You need someone to be in there with you, in the Bible study, studying the scriptures. Look, the last command Jesus gave us before he bounced, and he'll be coming again, by the way. He said, teaching how to obey these things.
Yeah.
There is a teaching process. Who is your teacher? Oh, okay, so if you don't have a teacher, this week go look for one.
Yeah.
A competent one, though.
Yeah.
Not people who will tell you what your itching ears want to hear. No, none of that.
Yeah.
Find someone who can give it to you real. You go home like, ouch. Ooh. Oh. Yeah. You'll be limping, but you'll be going with your blessings. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ah, this is my favorite. Take every thought captive.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm in the purity ministry. So I know how to take the thought captive. Because, you know, we have to confess our thoughts and everything. A thought comes in there, sometimes you have to go, hey, oh, hold on. What's happening here? If you don't take your thought captives, if you don't take your thought captive, every thought captive, and make it obedient unto Christ, ooh, before you realize, you'll be standing in a space where you'll be like, whoa, how did I get here? Because you refuse to take thought captive. And in fact, sometimes you even didn't confess what you were thinking. And those things trickle down into your heart. And before you blink, it became action. Too late. Look, do you know why it's good to take your thought captive? It is easier to eradicate that. When it gets here, it's hard. Because now your emotions are involved. Your senses are all numbed. You are all messed up. It's hard. Look, I don't know about you, but when sin gets into my heart, it's hard to get rid of it. It takes me a couple of weeks, with some prayers and deliverance before it gets away. But when it's in my head, and I take it, I'm like, no, Daniel, no. You don't think like that. Gone. Because it's up here. Take your thought captive. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Number 4. Be obedient to the promptings of the Holy Spirit to cultivate love.
Yes.
Ephesians 4:30. Do you guys know when Jesus left, he gave us a companion?
Yeah.
I was having a conversation with a brother one time, and I said, you know, I think as Christians, we have not really captured and utilized the power God has given to us. We have a companion who is supposed to encourage, correct, rebuke, and direct us and remind us of all the things that Jesus taught us. When was the last time you paid attention to the Holy Spirit? Is it just a name, a fancy name in the Bible? Or it is something real? The Holy Spirit is real because the Bible says that do not grieve the Holy Spirit that was deposited in you on your day of baptism. There is a deposit of God's presence in you. That is your power pack. So that when two or three of us are gathered and we are going to pray and we bump hands, we activate the Holy Spirit. It's like it's on. Do you know why we are not really paying attention to the Spirit? The Holy Spirit, he says things to you you don't want to hear. If we will all be honest, I'll be standing at the brink of sinning. And in my head and in my mind, I'm hearing it, Daniel, run! But I'll be standing there acting like I didn't hear nothing. Listen. Listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you. Quiet the plenty talking. Silence your mind. Wake up in the morning and learn how to be in silence. And listen. Because all your prayers, the Holy Spirit is telling you how to handle it. All the ruckus you've been dealing with, the Holy Spirit is telling you. But you are not listening. Because you are so busy listening to the world and listening to your own voices in your head. You need to learn. This is not easy. You need to learn to listen to the prompting of the Spirit.
Yes.
It is very important. If you make it to the end of the line, this brother right here, Holy Spirit, you need to get to know him a lot.
Yes.
If you don't get to know him, you'll be white knuckling it all the time. You will be working on your salvation with your own strength, and let me tell you, you will fail.
Yeah.
Listen to the Spirit. He knows your most innermost secrets, things that you cannot even talk about. And he knows God. That's God's presence. I mean, the manufacturer put that in you so that it can help you become the person you are supposed to be. The Holy Spirit helps me to become what I'm supposed to be. You want to get rid of fear? Listen to the Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's pray.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we know that fear is a liar, and we know that it steals our joy, and it breaks us down, and we make little things bigger than you are. But your word tells us that love conquers that. Help us to understand that you want a relationship with us. Help us to pay attention to the Spirit that you put in us to follow our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to pay attention. Help us to focus. Help us to know that we are in a relationship with you, and that relationship requires everything that we have to work on it every single day. Father, I pray that this week we will wake up every single morning and decide to be born again. Father, we thank you so much for what you've given to us today. Help us to draw closer to you, O God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.